The title of our lesson, Good News, God Cares. Could you use some good news today? Could the world use some good news? I reckon so. I reckon so. The world needs some help, doesn't it? I mean, the world is in a sorry state in many parts of this globe, and it affects us. It affects people we love and care about. It affects strangers we don't know, but it affects everybody. And I know that we do our best to make a difference, right? We're involved in trying to help people around us. Many of us make donations to charities worldwide. In particular, we have a strong connection with the charity Hope Worldwide here, which we really value. And so we make donations and do our best to help people in places like Afghanistan and other things like that. And that's a wonderful thing. And we should celebrate that, enjoy that, and be committed to that and do that. But I wonder whether what God has been putting on my heart recently is wondering whether we also are paying enough attention to the ways in which God might be guiding us personally and as a congregation to helping the people more immediately close to us. Not those far away. We should help those. But what about the people nearby? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And part of this is, I don't know, part of it comes out of the vision service we did last September, where this was a thread that people talked about, wanting to make a difference in our localities. Part of it comes out of Matt Penny's visit last Sunday, the chaplain from the YMCA, who came to talk about the work there, and reminding us that, of course, they have accommodation right here on this estate, a short walk from where we are now. And is God guiding us to connect more with that work somehow? I don't know, but it's making me wonder, given that these things have come together. And then Wednesday night, we had our most recent outreach equipping class, and it so happened that the topic, which had been planned well in advance, was outreach with the idea of how we serve people and how that connects with the idea of reaching out with the gospel. We talked about it a bit with some of the men that met yesterday for breakfast. Now, I just wonder whether God is asking us to look at this more carefully as a theme, as a congregation, and personally, than we have in the past. So that's why I'm offering this up for us today. But we need to, before we get into the detail of what maybe we might be called to, we need to think about God's perspective on this kind of thing. So we read this passage at the beginning of the service, a prophetic passage. We're looking forward to the coming of Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord has anointed me, called me, anointed, commissioned me, different ideas within that. He sent me to do what? To bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Justice will be done. It's basically what he's saying. To comfort all who mourn. God's big vision is to bring healing in every sense to this world, spiritually and materially. Bringing comfort and healing is his heart. That's what he wants. That's his desire. And so that's one of the reasons why Jesus picks up on this in Luke chapter 4. When he goes to the synagogue, he goes to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. He's the local boy going home, and he gets there, and he goes to the Sabbath, on the Sabbath to the synagogue, and he gets the opportunity to read from the scroll of Isaiah, which is an enormous thing. I mean, it's a huge, huge scroll. And he gets a chance to read it, and he gets, it looks like, a chance to pick which part to read. And what's the part that he picks? I mean, Isaiah is 60-something chapters, right? It's massive. But he picks one particular small part from this enormous book to read on that occasion. Therefore, we know it's mightily significant that he picks this bit. And he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. He closed the book. It wasn't a book, it was a scroll, but the idea. Right? He closes the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant. And he sits down, and everybody's eyes are fixed on him. Something's going on. They know something's going on, but they don't know yet what exactly. And he begins, because he goes on to teach some more, but he begins by saying, today, this scripture, written so many hundreds of years ago, written in prophetic anticipation of the coming of the Messiah who will achieve these things for God, or through God, God will do this through him. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled, not will be, has been fulfilled in your hearing. I mean, they've waited hundreds of years for this. And Jesus is saying, this is me. It's my mission. It's why I am here. Healing. Healing for all who need it. That's what he's about. That's what he's about. It's what's in his heart, and it shapes his whole life. And therefore, those of us who follow him, this is our mission. This is what shapes our life. And it's what we find inspiring about Jesus. Yeah. So, what does that mean? Well, think about Jesus. So give me examples. How did this work out in his life, in his ministry life on earth? How did we see this come into fruition, come to fulfillment? What did we see in his life that shows this? What do you think? When do we see this, Bruce?
I think in Mark chapter 2, where the paralytic is lowered down on the mat. So Jesus says, you see that he did, and then he also heals his physical disability.
Right. You got them going together, yeah.
Both healing physically and healing spiritually, that's what's good from that very first thing. So he does both straight away.
He does both.
Yeah, the first part is ministry mark.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's straight away. Yeah.
You get both coming together there. We get the physical healing and the forgiveness of sins healing coming together with the healing of the paralyzed man lowered through the ceiling. Yeah, that's a good example. Okay. Any other examples that come to mind? Lance?
When he put mud on the blind man's face, asked him to see how he was, and clear, and then asked him for water. And he asked him to put mud, and he gave
the healing of the blind, the healing of the man, in fact, more than one blind man, but healing of the blind he did more than once, right? Yeah, Stefan?
See, so I was thinking about a metaphoric
He set the woman caught in adultery. Of course, the man was also adulterous, but wasn't there, right? But anyway, she's the one hauled before the Pharisees and those who would stone her. And Jesus sets her free from that fate and the oppression of the law in that context. Yeah? Yeah, Sharon.
And Jesus.
Bad. Beatitudes. Yeah. They're beautiful, aren't they? Yeah, David.
Yeah.
The woman of the well. Yeah. The way he engages her. And she's someone who should be not engaged with, according to the way that things were done at the time, religiously, right? But he wants to include her. Okay. Yeah. Any other ideas? Yeah.
When he set free Legion.
Oh, yeah, Legion. Yeah, the demoniac, the legion, all those demons in him, he was healed. He was set free, liberated. Yeah, yeah. Steve?
He said his greatest criticism for those who thought that they were the most spiritual at the time, which is small bit, but spent most of his ministry with the living. The underserved and those in need.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't spend much time with people who culturally or religiously were important, right? The important weren't the people that he spent time with. It was the average, ordinary person, like you and me. That's who he cared about, right? Again, yeah. Anything else? So many examples really are there in the gospel. So many healings, so many areas of forgiveness and healing in that sense. Lives changed. I think it was Zacchaeus, who was very wealthy, seemed to have it all going for him, but he was trapped by his wealth, right? And he was hurting others with it, but he was healed of that. The woman who was bleeding for 12 years, spent all the money she had, set free from her sufferings. I love that because he says you're set free. Set free from her suffering. It's a beautiful thing. We see this in Jesus' life, that Jesus knew that what he was doing was going to change the world, but he wasn't changing the world by setting up some kind of massive system. He wasn't setting up a corporation. He wasn't setting up a charity as such. Nothing wrong with the charities or corporations, but it's not what wasn't his strategy. It wasn't his tactic. It wasn't his approach. His approach wasn't to set something up. His approach was to heal people, help people, and show the power of God and the love of God to those people, because he knew that if people experienced the healing power of God and the love of God, they will pass it on. The word will spread. The word spreads because God's love is real. The word spreads because God's power is real. Not just because we have a particularly smart way of doing stuff. This is the heart of what it's all about. So in a moment, I'd like to encourage us. We're going to be thinking a bit and praying a bit together here in a few moments. I want to encourage us to think about whether it's a big thing or a small thing. What has God been working in your life and around you recently to guide you towards people that you could bring some of the power and the love of Jesus to, some of his healing power, some of his healing love? Has God been guiding you to anybody? Maybe a family member, maybe a neighbor, someone at work, someone or a stranger we bump into, somebody we know somehow through some connection we have. Could be somebody here or someone elsewhere. Because in the end of it, I think sometimes we get, I mean, I speak for myself, but I think sometimes we get stuck in terms of not engaging with people with need because we think we have to do something big or impressive, or it has to be, you know, it has to be something we know we can sustain. And we get worried about starting, at least I do, in case I can't carry it on or I can't finish or it takes too much. But most of the things that God calls us to are relatively small in their cost, that they can be big in their effect. Mm-hmm. You know, Penny and I were first working for the church many years ago. I forget the exact year, but I'm going to say it was around 1990. We were both working for the church, and let's just say the pay wasn't particularly good in those days. And we were often really short of money. And there were occasions where members of the church went to Tesco, bought groceries, and just took them around and put them on our doorstep. And it's a small thing.
Yeah.
It was a small thing for someone to do. To buy a bag of groceries is not a massive thing, right? But it was huge for us, you can imagine. Very moving. I think about Charlotte and Bronwyn housing Stefan and Liesl for a while. Maybe that was a big thing, maybe. Had a big impact on their consumption of ice cream, I know that, if you know Stefan. But that was a temporary thing. That's not permanent, it's temporary, but it made a huge difference. Many of us have done similar things, because Barry and Kate with Anya from Ukraine and her children. There are many of us who've done things like that. Right? I think about sometimes we help people and then we learn a lot about ourselves too, don't we? Some of you know, a few years ago, I got connected to the local Watford charity called New Hope, who deal with homelessness issues and addiction issues in the Watford area. They do wonderful work. And I got connected with them, and I decided to volunteer with them. And spending friendship time with people who lived in a house where addicts lived together. So doing friendship stuff with them, accompanying them to the dentist or something like that, going with them. So going with them as a friend to make sure, kind of, at least try to make sure they didn't get back into their addiction habits while they were out going to the dentist, you see, because they were supposed to stay at the house otherwise. And I did that for a while. I couldn't sustain it. I did it for, I don't know how long, 6 months or a year. I couldn't sustain it because, partly because it triggered in me difficult feelings around someone I'm close to who has addiction issues. And so I'm glad I did it, but I couldn't sustain that. But I am glad I did it. I know it was helpful to the people I did spend some time with, but I also know it changed me. I remember the very first time I went in to meet some of the addicts. I went to have an interview, and the lady said, yeah, you know, kind of, you'll do, we'll take you on. Would you like to meet the people who live here? And I, up until that moment, it hadn't been real. And at that moment, I was like, yes, no, no, yes, no, I don't know. I've never sat in a room full of addicts before. So how am I going to be? What am I going to say? Anyway, she said, no, come in the lounge. So I went into the lounge and there were three of the residents there. And they were friendly and that's fine. And we just chatted and I felt like I was from Mars. I felt like an alien. I felt so out of my depth. But it was good for me because it revealed in me my prejudices, maybe, my assumptions, and the limits of my selfishness, that I don't like to feel uncomfortable. And it helped me to grow. I hope it helped me to grow a bit more like Jesus, because I think Jesus would not have been uncomfortable. He wouldn't. All these things help us to grow and help other people be blessed and help God be glorified. So sometimes it's really small things. Sometimes it's bigger. It's true. But we have opportunities. You know, one of the things I love about this saying about Jesus is in Acts 10, what was he all about? He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. But God was with him. He went around doing good because God was with him. Now, maybe you and I don't have all the same power that Jesus has, but we know Jesus who has the power. So we can, God being with us, show him to other people in the way that we serve. Let's take a few moments to talk to somebody next to you about whether you sense that God is maybe showing you some people you could help, and maybe talk about how you feel about it. How do you feel about serving in this kind of a way, helping people in this kind of a way? What kind of feelings does it stir up within you? But does anybody want to share anything from their conversation just now? Anything that struck them, something that's significant? Stefan?
I think when you commented about holding back to a sort of space, I found that very relatable to me as well. Sometimes, really, like, kind of like an old artist person, I feel like if I really properly do something, and I'd rather not do it at all. Sounds amazing, but actually, making that sometimes could be something that I can do.
It's interesting that Jesus, in a sense, I was thinking about what you just said, that the sustainability challenge, Jesus didn't do hardly anything that was sustainable, that depended on him. In a way, I mean, he made a difference and then he left, in a sense. So we don't maybe need to worry so much about it, in a way. Yeah, that's a really good point. Anybody else got anything you'd like to share?
Sure.
Yes, please.
This is my first time here.
I'm sorry, and what is your name?
Kelly.
Kelly, nice to have you here. Kelly, thank you.
Yeah, as you were talking, I was praying last night and I was just asking God to like lead me to where I need to be. And I just started working with Becky actually, Lawrence Williams. And I just thought I just feel like my story kind of, you don't realize just one little invitation or like just a little seeds could be planted, but you don't know how profound that could be in somebody else's life.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's all sweet here, and it was really tied up trigger healing talk you had today. So thank you.
Yes, well, thanks, Kelly. It's great to have you here. Sounds like we're having a collection of Lawrence Haynes teachers. It must be a collective noun. We'll have to come up with a Haynesian of something.
Yes.
But that's great to have you here. Yes, please, Kate.
It's important to be led by the Spirit. He says, "I'm helping." The wise way.
That's such an important point, Kate. Thank you. Because sometimes we can get into helping people out of guilt.
Yes.
Or a sense of duty. Or because we're wired up as a rescuer. Mm-hmm. And we need self-awareness about, are we really helping people because it's the love of Christ, or we're helping people to make ourselves feel better? Like, that can be a challenge, right? So self-awareness and the Spirit, involving the Spirit and God in that, is really important so that we do things with the right motives. Good stuff. Yes, Sharon.
I
didn't
talk to Steve about this, something that's been in my heart.
Yes.
And usually about June, what exams were looking for. And we used to go to Festival Fundy, we used to paint fences and gates, and basically just this lovely day, everybody make it come out and do whatever they could. And I just wanted that up to ask, you know, if that's something that you've done here before. I don't know if you wrote something in you. Yeah? And it just, and people have been to say, and we sit there, that people know it's a new project that we need to get volunteers to do some gardening, painting, that we see.
But I think that's right to put it out there, because, so just in case you didn't catch all that, we've not done that thing as a congregation here. Other congregations many of us have been part of have had sort of service days, going out to do something in an old people's home or something, or something like that, to paint or a garden and things. And in Thames Valley, it's something that did happen year after year for a long time. And so I think it's something we could think about here. And I think this is the leading of the Spirit thing is, well, where is God connecting us to something? You know, one or two of us have had opportunity to connect with the YMCA in the center of town to help. Maybe there's a thing there. And of course, when we're talking about all these things, maybe I'll emphasize this now, I was going to mention it later. I don't think there's one right answer to any of this.
Yeah.
It's not like we have to do something in a certain way. Do we need a congregational project? If God gives us one, then we should pay attention to that and do it. But we don't have to have a congregational project to have the heart of Christ and make a difference. You with me?
Yeah.
And I think this is part of the, I think God is bringing this to our attention, that what is God saying to us about this area of our Christian expression of the kingdom? You know, when we serve in this way, we're really revealing the kingdom to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's our, in this area of expressing the kingdom in our world today, is there something God is bringing to our attention? I do not know, because I do not claim to have the mind of Christ exclusively or something, but I do think it's something for us to consider, because we haven't really talked about that in this way, as a congregation, at least not very much. I mean, sorry, Garth, go ahead.
I was just going to suggest, is it possible to have perhaps open air services?
An open air service?
Yes.
Hmm.
Say, well, Kings.
Oh, in the park?
Yes, in the space. Well, we have done a passive graph. I always felt we couldn't blame the state.
Locally.
And in the past, we've done bridges around and done services in the open air. But just not the way about. Would be something we'd find, whether there's some liberty.
Okay, good. Thank you. Open air services in the locality here.
Yes.
Yeah,
King
George's.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? On a day like today. I'll vote for that. As long as you bring some cake, Lizzie.
I just really believe they have their ways this day anyway.
Yeah.
Shows us news. Little money.
you know, it's not straight by the way. So tonight we have two desperate things, two ladies who have cancer and they say we want to have his surgery of 50. Well, she's had surgery. And, you know, they left our hearts to pray for this gentleman.
Let's do that. We'll have a time of prayer in a minute. The Cafe West, which I'll talk more about in just a moment, is very important. It takes place here on a Tuesday. Yes?
Just to remember that, as you usually go down to teach about God's journey, and then I say, you could then have going, I'm going to help you get.
Yeah, one sows. One waters, one reaps. Okay, we all have a different role sometimes in people's lives. Okay, time's moving on. So let me just suggest a couple of things. Is it today Daniel's running?
Yeah.
Okay, so Bruce, your nephew,
yeah.
Daniel, is running the Brighton Marathon for motor neuron disease research, for your brother. And because your brother has that condition, many of you will have met Phil and Louise when they were here a year and a half ago, I think, when Archie Higgin came to preach, I think they were here. You know, it's tough. It's tough for Phil, it's tough for Louise, it's tough for the whole Miller family, of course, you know, when someone like your brother has motor neuron disease. The question is, what can you do? You know, I don't think any of us here are probably going to be the people to solve the whole problem and find a cure for motor neuron disease. We could do something. Daniel's a young man. What can he do? He can run the marathon. He can run the marathon. And what can we do? Some of us, we can contribute towards the fundraising. Could do something. I appreciate what he's doing. That's personal. You see, that's less family. That's personal. I've seen some of the donations on the page. There, some of them are sizable. So well done to Daniel, and I hope he does well today. And he's going to raise a lot more than his aim. Originally, his aim was to raise £500. That was last night. It was at 2,840, so I don't know what it would be now. He's doing a great thing. I do think about Matt Penny being here last Sunday, the YMCA. Again, we have a presence right here on the estate. Is there something there we're being guided to? Maybe. I think about Cafe West, as you say. A great service to this local community. Great fun. I enjoy going whenever I can. And I always have stimulating conversations with people, often leading towards faith issues. I had a great conversation 2 weeks ago with somebody about the Irish saints. They live on my street. And I have a book about Ireland and the Irish Christianity stuff. And so I wandered down the road and lent him my book. And he brought it back the next day. He read the whole book in a day. So he found it fascinating. You don't know where these things go, right? Sowing seeds, watering, planting. But I think it's a wonderful thing. So what I'd like us to do for just a few minutes here is have some prayer. So maybe we're being called to connect with global charities or national charities. Maybe it's more about connecting with established local charities. Maybe it's about looking out for our own physical blood families' needs. Maybe there's needs in our congregation here that we can help with. Maybe it's just, I've termed nearby people, just people that are in our orbit, at work or neighbors, you know, people we kind of know. And then there is strangers, of course, as well. So can we just spend a few minutes praying, and I'll just leave it open so anybody can pray. But spend a few minutes praying for God to guide us personally, congregationally, having the right heart of Christ, but also having the wisdom and discernment of the Spirit to know what we're called to. So let's have a few minutes of that, and I will conclude the prayer in a few minutes, and then we'll go and take the Lord's Supper together to strengthen us in our